couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in my office, and I was I always try to work ahead, move ahead, and because I never know what my weeks are going to look like. I get asked to speak, and I get asked to do, and so I try to take my study time and work it out. But a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in my office, and I was beginning to outline and really kind of put meat to the bone, if you will, on Luke chapter 11. And in the midst of that, God said, "Hey, push back." And I was like, "What do you mean push back?" So I literally pushed my chair back from my desk and back from the Bible. And I said, "Okay, God, what are you trying to say to me?" And he kept saying a word to me. He just kept giving me a word, and that word was pause. Pause. I kept hearing that word. And so I got up from my desk, and I actually came in here and prayed, and then I walked up and down the stairs a little bit just to kind of energize my body a little bit. And then I went back to my desk, and I got back in Luke chapter 12, and God said it again. He said, "Push back." And so I pushed back, and I finally got it. We're going to take a little pause in the Gospel of Luke this morning, because what I have found is that if we want to move forward with momentum, then we have to be willing to take a breath. We have to be willing to take a pause. And I've been pushing hard in the Gospel of Luke, and I've been preaching hard the vision of Start Baptist Church, but what God was calling me to do personally is what I believe God is calling us to do corporately. And I just want us to get back to some basic truths and some basic building blocks before we get into some very difficult passages of Scripture in Luke, because Jesus is going to say some things and do some things that are very hard in the Gospel of Luke. And I believe he calls us to do some hard things and sometimes to say some hard things. And so in order to be ready for that, I think we need to look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. As a matter of fact, what I want us to do is I want us to think about a couple of truths, right? Why did Jesus come? Why did he come to this earth? Why did Emmanuel, God with us, actually come here to be with us? And so I want to give you two truths really quickly that I think you know, but I just really want us to focus on that. And number one is this: Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's what he came to do. And we see that in Luke 19:10. Now, I'm not asking you to turn there, because I'm going to preach that message somewhere down the road, Lord willing. But he says that in Luke 19:10. He said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." That is why Jesus came to this earth. But he also said this in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He came to serve and not to be served. And so I believe we see two just biblical truths, but also foundational truths about Jesus. So Jesus came to seek and to save, lost, okay? So let me tell you what Jesus is about first and foremost: God's salvation. That's what he's about first and foremost. But he also says he came to serve and not to be served. And as you look at the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, Jesus, he constantly tells his followers, "Hey, do to others what I'm doing to you. Treat others the way I treat you. Speak to others the way I speak to you." So we see that Jesus, the foundational truth is salvation. Jesus came to save, but he also came to serve. And so I believe we're going to see that calling and that transformation as individuals, but also as a corporate body. Now, I want to share with you the vision of Start Baptist Church, and I know I've been doing this, and Lord willing, I'm going to keep doing this, because I think we need to keep this in front of us, just as we need to keep in front of us why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost, and he came to serve, not to be served. That's who Jesus is. And if we look at Jesus and we are saved, we'll see that we have been saved from death to life. We've been saved from God's wrath into God's righteousness. But we've also been saved to serve, to live life for him. and to live life with him. And so our vision is really about that. You see, our vision at Start Baptist Church is to actually participate in kingdom ministry. You've heard me say that a lot, right? I don't want you to spectate. I don't want you to sit and watch what God is doing. I want you to be a part of what God's doing because that's what he calls us to in the Bible. And we're going to see that today. But let me ask you a question. Has anybody in here ever gotten tired? Anybody? Okay, so seven of us. So the rest of you, no excuses from here on out. Since you've never gotten tired, I don't want to hear any excuses. Let me ask again. Has anybody in here ever gotten tired? Physically? Spiritually? Emotionally? In church? Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary. Let us not become weary and doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, here's what I want you to know. It's okay to get tired. As a matter of fact, you should get tired. Because if you get tired, it's because you've been putting in the work. Right? But here's what I want you to know. It's not okay to quit. It's not okay to give up. Now, here's the thing. Has anybody here ever quit before? Has anybody here ever given up before? Yeah, me too. I'm glad God gives us a new starting line, amen? I'm glad he keeps on giving us starting lines, right? He does. But it's still not okay to quit. It's not okay to give up. But I'm going to tell you something. It's okay to get weary. Just don't stay there. Rest in him. Look to him. Lean into him. But understand, he's going to give you what you need so that you know who he is and who you are. And he's going to give you what you need so that you can keep on glorifying God no matter what. So our vision at Start Baptist Church is to participate in kingdom ministry. But it's also this. We want to connect with God daily. And in connecting with God, he gives us the opportunity to connect with others. So we want to be a church and a people who connects, but we also want to love God. And the best way to love God is by loving people that he created in his image. That's the best way to love God, is to love the people he puts in front of you, beside you, and behind you, around you. Love God by loving people. And so that's who we want to be at Star Baptist Church. We want to connect and we want to love. And we also want to serve God. And the best way to serve God is by serving the people he created in his image. That's really the vision of Start Baptist Church, to be connected to God, to be connected to one another, to be connected to our community, to love God by loving the people around us. And listen to me, it ain't always going to be easy. As a matter of fact, we're not just called to love the people we love, we're called to love the unlovable too. We're not just called to love the people we agree with. Jesus has already shown us that we're also called to love our enemies. We're called to love those who persecute us, who don't agree with us. We're called to serve everybody, regardless of their affiliation, denomination, or where they are. We're called to serve. And I believe we see that in the life of Jesus. But here's the thing. If we don't personally know who Jesus is and why Jesus came and how Jesus lived, then it will be impossible to live out the calling in our lives personally and most importantly, corporately as a church. We've got to know who Jesus is. We've got to know the way Jesus does things and why he does things so that we can know who we are and how we are supposed to live. And so I want us to focus today on our calling. I want us to focus today on our transformation. I want us to focus today on the scriptures who tell us who Jesus is and what Jesus has done to us and what Jesus wants to do through us. Okay? So let's look at it. And we're going to start in the Gospel of Mark. Okay? Now, this is a passage that I have preached before. This is a passage that you've heard me reference many times, but I think it's something we need to keep coming back to because we can get very distracted and sometimes very discouraged in ministry because we miss this. So look at it with me. Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called. Do you see that word? Hey, listen. Jesus is the caller. Jesus is the caller. He called to himself those he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might, what does it say? Be with him. Say those three words. Be with him. That's what it says. Jesus called those he wanted to be with himself, right? So that they might be with him. And, there's the word, and that he might send them out. I see three words, be with him, and then I see another three words, send them out. That's very important. So Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. I want to show you two important truths in this passage. Number one, our primary calling is relationship. Our primary calling is relationship. Our primary calling is not what we can do for God. Our primary calling is what God has done for us. That's the primary calling. We can get so caught up and say, well, I'm going to Sunday school, and I'm on this ministry team, and I haven't missed a Bible study on Wednesday morning, and I've done this, and I've done that, and you will wear yourself out. You will wear yourself out. I wore myself out this week. I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday night. Got up Monday, and me and Andy and Jeremy went to a pastor's conference all day long. And then Tuesday, I went and preached at Celebrate Recovery. And then Thursday, I got up early in the morning and went and preached to a school. Yeah, I did, and served. And I'm going to tell you something. I was wore out. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm wore out. I am. And if we're not careful, we'll forget that we were not first called to do. We were first called to be with him. Jesus is the one who calls, and we see that he calls those he wanted. That is the first and primary calling in your life and my life as a Christ follower. Our first calling is a calling to salvation. It's a calling to intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And if we ever forget that, and if we ever get away from that, it's no wonder why we want to quit. It's no wonder why we give up. When you forget the primary calling in your life, it's real easy to lose in every other area of your life. And so our relationship with Jesus, how does that begin? I believe it begins with repentance. I mean, when John the Baptist came to make the way, what was his message? Repent and believe. When Jesus came, his first message, he said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. And so our relationship, the salvation God has for us, how does that begin? I believe it begins with repentance of our sin. Repentance of our sin. We turn from our sin. We turn from ourselves and we believe in Jesus Christ, who is God's grace and God's mercy to us. He is God's love to us and for us. And so our relationship, our intimate relationship, our first and primary calling to be with him, it's through Jesus Christ. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose from the grave for us to defeat sin and death. He rescued us from the wrath of God. Think about that for just a moment. You and I deserve the wrath of God. We do. We deserve the eternal wrath of God, forever and ever separated from him because of our sinfulness. But Jesus Christ rescued us from that wrath. He rescued us from death, but don't miss this. He rescued us to life. To life. Not just existence. How many of you feel like over the past year or 2 years or how many ever years, you've merely existed? I just get up in the morning and go to work. And I go to work and I do my job and then I come home and I eat a little dinner and I go to bed and rest and I do the same thing over and over again. How many of you feel like a tree? Right? You just taking in and giving out, taking in and giving out. God didn't create you to simply exist. He created you to live. He created me to live. And He gives us that life right here and right now. I know we think about eternity. We think about, oh, come Jesus and take us away from this earth and take us to heaven. But are you missing what God's calling you to do on earth because you're so busy looking at heaven? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is here. Emmanuel, God with us, right here, right now. And I don't want to miss that. God created me to live my life full and eternally right now in Start, Louisiana on August 31st of 2025. And so Jesus rescued me from sin. He rescued me from death, but he rescued me to life right here, right now, and for eternity. He redeemed me. Thank God for redemption, amen? Amen. He paid for me. He paid for you so that we could be in right relationship with God. So what is our first and primary calling? Relationship, salvation, just to be with him. But we see that there is a secondary calling because it said he called those he wanted to be with him and, do you see that? And. So our secondary calling is participation. Participation. Just as Jesus did for these disciples in Mark chapter 3, Jesus keeps on doing for us today. He saves us, yes, and we should be thankful for that salvation. And that salvation is the foundation of our lives, but he also enables us and empowers us to participate in what he is doing, to participate in kingdom ministry. He sends us out into the world. Isn't that what he did with those disciples in Mark 3? It says to send them out, right? That they might have authority and power to do great things for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the calling on your life if you're a Christ follower. That's the calling on your life if you're a Christ follower. No, you may not have the title of preacher or pastor or teacher or deacon. But as a Christ follower, you have the light of God inside of you, and you have been called to let that light shine wherever you are and wherever you go. Let that light shine. That is a calling if you're a Christ follower. So I do not apologize to tell you, you can't just sit and watch and be okay with it. Can you pause? Absolutely. Can you rest? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, didn't Jesus say that? Come to me, all you who are what? Weary, and I will give you rest. Isn't that what Paul was talking about? Hey, don't grow weary in doing good. So how do you not stay weary in doing good? You come to Jesus so that he can give you the rest that you need, right? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so he takes that weariness from you. He takes that exhaustion from you, I believe physically, spiritually, mentally. And he allows you to keep looking at him and keep leaning into him. And you know what he does? He fills you up. He fills you up so that you can get back out there and do what you've been called to do, and that is participate in kingdom ministry. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah says. Dr. Jeremiah says, by virtue of an intimate connection. I love that. Because what are we about at Start Baptist Church? Connection. He says, by virtue of an intimate connection with Jesus, all of Jesus' followers are able to represent him to a lost and hurting world. Let me ask you a question. What kind of representative are you for Jesus in this world? What kind of representative are you for Jesus in your home, moms and dads? What kind of representative for Jesus are you, students in the school that you attend? What kind of representative for Jesus are you, anybody in here who works for your coworkers around you? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I've been sharing this on Wednesday nights, that we are Christ's ambassadors. That's what he says. He says, you are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through you. That's who you are, right? That's who you are, as one who has been saved by God, called into relationship with him. That's who you are. He calls you into relationship with you. He saves you so that you can be in intimate relationship with him. But he's not going to leave you the way you are. He's going to change you. Isn't that what Brenna Kay led us in worship with? Right? She's saying, you're changing me. And thank God he's changing me. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to be who I was last week. I don't want to be who I was last year. I want to be more like Jesus today. And I hope tomorrow I'm even more like Jesus than I was today. And so let me show you this. The calling in our lives is to be with him in relationship. Repent and believe. The calling in our lives is to participate in kingdom ministry. But the only way to truly do that is to allow God to change us, to transform us. And we see that in the Gospel of Luke. And I could use many passages, but I wanted to use this one because it's one we've looked at. But I want us to revisit so that we can remember, right? We can remember what this is all about. So in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was calling those disciples, we saw that in Mark chapter 3. Now in Luke chapter 5, we get to see that calling again, and it's a calling for transformation. Watch what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. If you'll remember, he had already called Philip, and he had already called Simon and Andrew and James and John. And so they knew who Jesus was, but what we find is they get a little distracted, and they go back to doing their old things. You know what they went back to do? They went fishing because it was comfortable for them, and it was their identity for a long time. So watch what happens. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water. Okay, number one, when they went fishing, they didn't go in deep water. They fished in the shallows because that's where the fish were. So he's calling them to do something that ain't normal for them and something they're certainly not comfortable with. Because you know what happens in the deep waters? The waves are really fierce. So he says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Look at that statement. We have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Do you think Simon was a little tired? Do you think he was a little discouraged? I think so. Or else why would he even say that? Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so. See, I believe Simon was already in a saving relationship. I believe he already believed that Jesus truly was Lord. Why would he call him Master? I believe that. He says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. In other words, he's striving for obedience. Do you see that? He's striving for obedience. So even though he's been distracted and even though he's been discouraged, he hears Jesus, he sees Jesus, and he says, you know what? That's the Master. And he said to do this, so I'm gonna strive to do what he says to do. He says, I will, right? I will let down the nets. And verse 6 says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, said they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Now that is a very powerful and very meaningful statement, because I believe in that moment, right, Simon Peter began to see something that he wasn't able to see at the beginning. So I believe transformation was already happening. But we see it here. He recognizes that Jesus is completely God and completely holy, and he is not. What we see here is humility, right? He goes down to his knees and he says, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to even be in your presence or to even be talking to you. So you need to go away from me because I don't think you know who I am. And I believe he knew exactly who he was. And I believe he knew exactly who he was going to be. Isn't that good? He knew exactly who he was in that moment, but Jesus knew who he was going to be. I'm glad Jesus knew me in that moment when I said yes to him. And I'm glad Jesus knew who I was going to be on August 31st, 2025. Because I would have never seen it. And I would have never gotten there on my own. I'm just telling you. So Peter says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. In other words, they just witnessed a miracle. This was a miracle of Jesus Christ. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus, here it is, right? Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. You will fish for people. And look at verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, I'm just curious. Didn't they just catch two boatloads of fish? So they just left those boatloads of fish on the shore? I guess so. What they had worked hard for all night and finally got through Jesus, they didn't even care about it anymore. Isn't it something how when Jesus gets a hold of you and you start looking at him and you start listening to him, how what you used to desire ain't what you desire no more? That's something only God can do. That's something only God can do. And so what we see in this passage of Scripture, now look, I could preach all kinds of messages just on that passage of Scripture. I could outline that and preach about 10 different kinds of messages. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus' work in our lives is transformational. It's transformational. Let me tell you this. He will never be okay with you living your life the way you used to live before he found you. He'll never be okay with that. Because the way we live our lives before Jesus is all about us. It's all about our desires. It's all about our flesh. It's all about our plans. But when Jesus gets a hold of us and we surrender in humility and we recognize that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and we surrender to him as Savior and Lord, oh, he starts changing us. He starts changing our desires. He starts changing our wants and the way we see and the way we speak and the way we do things. That word transform, it's a really neat word, okay? That word transform has a bunch of definitions in the dictionary. Now, I'm not going to sit here and read Webster's Dictionary out loud to you for the next hour, but I do want you to know what that word transform means, according to Webster, right? That word transform means to change in composition or in structure. But I like this. It also means to change in character and condition. To change in character and condition. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and one of the verses that I try to remember every day when my heart begins to get a little hard, right, is that passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, when God says this in verse 26, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. People ask me all the time, what happens, Brother Jeff, when I repent of my sin and I put my faith in Jesus, what happens in salvation? In salvation, God changes you. He exchanges that heart of stone, that heart that was all about you and only you, your desires, your wishes, and listen to me, those could be good. But if they ain't about God and for God and through God and with God, they ain't right. There's a lot of good people in our world today. But if they die without Jesus Christ, they're going to spend eternity suffering God's wrath because they never repented of their sin that deserves God's wrath. And we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to tell people, hey, it's not about being good. It's about repenting. That's a hard conversation to have. There's so many nice people. So many good people doing good things. Well, so-and-so talks to me so sweet, right? He's got to be. She's got to be a Christian. Did you ask? I mean, did you ask? I was weary this week, and I was a little tired. And what's funny is Thursday morning after I spoke at the school, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go down to Waffle House, and I'm going to get me a bacon and egg sandwich, big old glass of orange juice, and I might even throw in a waffle with a lot of syrup on it. And I did. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to take a deep breath. And I'm just going to be with God. And there was hardly nobody there. Matter of fact, there was only one other customer there. And I sat in this little corner booth, and the waitress was so nice to me. And what I should have done at the beginning was I should have said, ma'am, I'm about to pray. Is there anything I can pray for you? I didn't do that, okay? I didn't do that. But I sat there, and before I ate my meal, I just bowed my head, and I prayed. And I just said, God, I'm busy for you, and I'm doing for you, but I've been distracted, and I'm kind of getting discouraged, and it's nothing that somebody's done. It's just like, man, I'm just tired. And I said, so God, I'm just going to take these few moments, and I'm not getting up out of this booth until you tell me to get up. That's the last thing I prayed, was that I'm not getting out of this booth, out of this seat, until you tell me to get up. And so I said amen, and I started eating my food, and I actually opened up my phone and hit the Bible app, and I just started reading some Psalms, because that's what I love to do. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but I'm just trying to show you what happens when you get in tune with who God is and who you are in Him, and you rest in Him, and you just take a pause. He'll show you how He can work, because as I was sitting there, I noticed while I was praying and had my eyes closed, there was a young lady that sat down across from me at the little bar area, and she had her head down on like this. And when she picked her head up, she looked exhausted. To be honest with you, she looked like she was hurting. And all I could think was, me too. And I got my phone, and I almost opened the camera app just to look at myself and go, God, is that what I look like? Do I look that exhausted? Do I look that tired? But then God said, buy her some breakfast. That's what He said. Listen to me. I didn't have to get up out of that booth. I didn't have to exhaust myself physically. I didn't even have to preach a sermon. When my waitress came over to me, I said, ma'am, I said, that lady sitting right there looks like she's hurting. And I just want to buy her some breakfast. And I don't even care if she knows. Like, I want to buy her some breakfast. And she looked at me and she said, she was in here yesterday. And she sat here for an hour, and all she got was a glass of water because it was free. And I wished we would have given her something to eat. So what do you want me to do? I said, go over and ask her what she wants to eat. And I said, I don't care what she orders. You put it on my ticket. And so she walked over to the girl, and she knew her name. And I wish, I'm not going to tell your name because it don't matter. But anyway, she said, baby, we know you're tired, and we know you're hurting, and we want to feed you something. So what do you want to eat? And she looked up, and she said, who's feeding me? And before I could stop her, the waitress said, pointed at me. I didn't want that to happen. But anyway, she looked at me, and she had tears in her eyes, and I just walked over, and I said, hey, I said, I'm tired too. But God loves me. And I know and believe God loves you. And so please just order some food and don't worry about anything. I didn't preach the gospel to her. I didn't even put my hand on her shoulder and pray with her. I just did what God told me to do in that moment. I just did what God told me to do in that moment. She ordered a good breakfast, by the way. And I didn't care. I walked up there and you know what I felt? I felt the weight of the world just taking off my shoulders. I felt the exhaustion just gone. That's what I felt. I felt it was just gone. And I just was smiling, and that waitress looked at me and she said, sir, thank you. I said, no, ma'am, thank God. And I just hit my card. The tip I was going to give her, I doubled it. I was like, God, you know, we talked about this in our deacons meeting. We just want to be more generous with our lives. We just want to be a church that is generous. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and there it is, a moment God gives me a chance to be generous. And so I just walked out my truck, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I felt so alive, right? Just so alive. And what I did didn't exhaust me. It didn't exhaust me spiritually. It didn't exhaust me mentally. And I'm going to tell you something. It didn't exhaust me financially. You want to know why? Because it belonged to God anyway. It belonged to Him anyway. God says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. Why would He do that? So that we could see people the way Jesus sees them. So that we can move into people the way Jesus moved in to people. See, Jesus' work in our lives is transformational, but it's also this. His work in our lives is for kingdom purpose. I went in there and I absolutely needed rest. I absolutely needed God to just meet me there. But in that moment where I'm resting and God's meeting me there, there was still somebody who needed Him. And even in my moment of exhaustion, I was still able to see the way Jesus saw and to move the way Jesus saw. And that's because when He comes into our lives, He comes into our lives with kingdom purpose, and that purpose never changes. It never changes no matter how tired we are, no matter how exhausted we are. That kingdom purpose will always be in front of us. It'll always be there. And so we have to keep our eyes on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and who Jesus is in us and what Jesus wants to do with us and through us. I want to finish with this one passage, because here's what I believe. I believe we can actually measure the transformation that's taking place in our lives. Did you know that? We can. We can measure the transformation that's taking place in our lives. You go, so I can actually know if I'm being more like Jesus? I can actually know if I'm living more like Jesus? You absolutely can. And there's a lot of passages that I could go to, but I went to this one. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let me show you how you can know the transformation is taking place in your life. And if it's not, I believe we need to take a step back. We need to pause. And I'm going to use the word. We need to repent. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the what? The calling you have received. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Jesus has called you. He's called you into relationship, but He's also called you into participation. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Here it is. Here's how you can know about the transformation that is or is not taking place in your life. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. If you are becoming more prideful, and if ministry is becoming about what you do more than about what God is doing, that's not transformation. That's conforming to the ways of this world. Didn't Paul say something about that? Anyway, be completely humble and gentle. That's who Jesus was. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. People say this all the time. I struggle with patience. Well, then you struggle being like Jesus. Guess what? I struggle with patience too. Sometimes people wear me thin. And if I struggle with being patient, then I'm struggling to be more like Jesus. That's my flesh battling against my spirit. That's that heart of stone trying to come back instead of that heart of flesh that God has given me. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is an awesome passage of Scripture, because the fruit of transformation, we need to be bearing this fruit. We need to be overloaded with this fruit. The fruit of transformation is humility, gentleness, patience, and love, and yes, unity. I believe we see that in this passage of Scripture. And as we can see, the humility and the gentleness and the patience and the love, right, in the individual should lead us to the corporate unity. So if each one of us as individuals is striving to keep our focus on Jesus, if each one of us as individuals is focused on our relationship first, our salvation first, and our service second, then I believe when God brings us together, we can absolutely live in unity. We can absolutely live in unity. Notice that we are not called to create unity. That's not what Paul says. He didn't say, hey, church, you need to create unity. What did he say? He said, no, church, you need to do what? Keep the unity. Make every effort to keep the unity that you already have through who? The Holy Spirit of God. The one who indwells you. The one who indwells me. The same Spirit. That's oneness. God gives us oneness of purpose. And we can move together in kingdom ministry and kingdom purpose. And that's what I want us to see, right? As we continue to move forward. Because you're going to hear me say over and over again, we want you to plug in. We want you to connect with God. We want you to connect with us. Why? So that we can love God by loving people. We want you to connect with us, and we want you to be loving, because if you're connected with us, connected with God, and if you're loving God and loving people, then you are going to want to serve instead of being served. Church won't be about you sitting in your pew and letting the guests sit somewhere else. Church will be about you escorting the guest in and letting them sit wherever they want. And if they sit in your pew, you say, hey, I'm going to sit right over here beside you. I'm going to sit behind you. If we're not careful, we start making this about us, and this ain't about us. If you were here Wednesday night, you heard me say this. This church don't belong to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been here, how much money you've given. This church ain't about me, the pastor of this church. This church belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And he has allowed me to be a part of it. And he's allowed you to be a part of it. He's called us to be a part of it. How dare me ever think that this is mine and that I deserve recognition or that I deserve better than. No, I don't. I deserve the wrath of God and I deserve eternity in hell. Thanks God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Because he rescued me. He redeemed me. And when I stay humble, when I'm like Peter and say, Lord, go away from me. go away from me. I am not worthy. When I stay in that, that's when God says, hey, son, I will use you. Hey, daughter, I will use you. You'll no longer be a fisher of fish. You're going to be a fisher of people. I'm going to tell you, I hope you hear that calling. I hope you're, because it's the most worthwhile calling you will ever experience. When Jesus says to you, I'm going to use you to make a difference in the life of him, her, them. I'm just telling you, that's a worthwhile calling. So don't miss the call of Jesus in your life to be with him first. Don't miss the call in your life and the opportunities in your life of transformation, the call of service, the call of being sent out. And you say, Brother Jeff, how can I be in those opportunities, right? How can I be a part of that service? Well, here it is. You walk with God in his word daily. You pray to God daily. You sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to me. If you want to be a better Martha, you need to be a better Mary. You need to take advantage of those moments when Jesus says, sit down with me. And then you can get up and you can go be the Martha that you want to be. I believe we need them both. Amen? Amen. So here's my plea to you. And I'm done. Number one, live your life worthy of the calling that you have received from God. It's not about Brother Jeff. It's not even about Start Baptist Church. You live your life worthy of the calling that God has given you as an individual. Do that first. And then live your life transformed. Live your life transformed by the renewing of your mind in relationship with God. Dig into his word. Let his word be in you. Get in with other brothers and sisters in Christ, because here's what I know, and I love Pastor Joby Martin. Pastor Joby Martin said God didn't create us to be Lone Ranger Christians. He didn't do that. Or else why did Jesus send them out two by two? Why did Jesus call them together? When the 5,000 and more than that were there, he said, y'all go and serve them. Why didn't he just say, hey, Simon Peter, since I was talking to you in Luke 5, why don't you by yourself go serve them? I mean, listen to me. He could have done that. And Jesus could have empowered him to do that. And the other disciples could have sat there with their arms folded and said, look at Peter go. He runs his mouth. Now he's having to run his feet. But that's not how Jesus did it. He said, y'all do it. Teamwork. Together. Wisest man in the Bible. Solomon. Other than Jesus Christ, wisest man in the Bible. What did he say? Ecclesiastes 2 are better than 1, for great is their reward. They can encourage each other. They can pick each other up. And that's who we are as a church. So I hope this helps you today. Like I said, I don't know if this was just for me. I don't think it was, or else God wouldn't have said to do it. But maybe today you're exhausted. Maybe you're tired. I want you to know it's okay. But don't quit. Don't give up. Take your pause, if you will. And that might be a moment like mine was. That might be a week. That might be a month. Hey, that might be a year. I'm not here to define your pause. But in your pause, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. And watch what he will do. Watch what he will do to you, for you, and through you. Because even in your pause, you can still see people around you are hurting and do something about it. Connected, loving, and serving. That's who I want us to be. But not at the expense of your individual relationship with God. I don't want all of the workers to be tired and wore out and pause at the same time. I want us to take our pauses and do our thing, but I want us to be fueled up, ready, prepared to do what God wants us to do together. And I want us to encourage one another. And I want us to be humble toward one another. I want us to be gentle. I want us to be patient. I want us to be loving. I believe that's what God wants. I want us to be unified. I believe that's what God wants. Calling and transformation. Think about that.